Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that examines current events in the light of biblical truth. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Today's program is back to the issue of COVID policy and the hysteria. And after 2 years of COVID insanity, I can now say that those who criticized the overreaction to the COVID pandemic have been and are being vindicated. In my first radio program and YouTube on the COVID crisis, back in March 19th, 2020, in checking back on my old notes, the first program was entitled The COVID Scare, and I explained that the real story to be talking about is not just the virus, but the social, political, economic, and moral overreaction to the virus. I explained that we ought to maintain a degree of skepticism toward what the experts were saying, that despite the veneration of modern science, the scientific experts can be wrong. They've been wrong so many times in our lifetime. A whole list of examples could be given, and sometimes it's the outlying voices, the silence voices, that in the end are proven right. So always have a healthy suspicion toward the experts. And I said, quote, we don't want to be a bunch of know-it-alls. We don't want to call everything nonsense or call everything a government conspiracy. But at the same time, we all know that there is this herd mentality, mass hysteria, and groupthink. People can be lemmings, those little hamsters who jump off the cliff if one of their leaders jumps off the cliffs first. But here is where I was wrong in what I said. I also expected that in a few weeks, there would be all sorts of criticism toward the government response, that some people were already calling the response draconian, overblown, hysteria. Little did I know at that time how long the left would continue their silly policies and really doubling down on their policies, and how unscientific these policies would be. I thought that the news cycle, since it changes every few weeks, that these people would be mostly over their COVID hysteria by the end of the next month. But the whole thing was like the Russian collusion narrative. The media just held on to the story for 2 years until the opposing evidence was so overwhelming and obvious that they had to finally change the story. So also with the COVID crisis. See, but I didn't realize how tough it would be to defeat the delusion. You know, just like 20 years ago, I didn't realize that the climate change movement would be the zombie that doesn't want to die. Now, at that time, I was an outlier. People were telling me that as a pastor, I should err on the side of public safety, that I should keep my church closed down, that I was being too suspicious of these politicians, that maybe I had lost my sense of concern. But I've been vindicated. And really not just me, so many other Christians who spoke out against the overreaction. Now, I have many stories to share in this regard, and I'll share them in my YouTube version of this program, but here's just a couple. Bombshell pandemic study. Blue states killed people, ruined education and businesses. Quote, blue states, Democrat-run states, in the United States appear to adopt most of China's policies to deal with the pandemic. The cure became worse than the illness, but medical tyrants, such as Dr. Anthony Fauci, a political operative, pushed lockdowns beyond all reason, without any consideration for collateral damage. A report written by the National Bureau of Economic Research, a nonpartisan, nonprofit group, concluded that shutting down during the pandemic was by far the biggest mistake governors and state officials made. The study judged states on their economy, education, and mortality, and compiled a comprehensive list showing how they now stand as coronavirus dies down. And the findings were that the states with the most draconian COVID policies fared no better than the states that stayed open. And pretty much any sensible person could have predicted that. Because people don't need the government to tell them how to live when a virus is going around. People can avoid other sick people on their own. And a virus cannot be stopped by making everyone mask up. And the states that locked down hindered herd immunity and hurt everyone economically. As I said in subsequent programs, the problem was the hubris of these experts, thinking that they could know and do what was mostly outside their control. But, you know, they had to come riding in like a savior, and that always results in disaster. Here's another article. Only 13 states have recovered from the lockdowns. Guess what 12 of them have in common? Well, the 12 that recovered had Republican governors who didn't fall for all of the COVID panic policy. So here's a question. Why were those with a conservative worldview proven right and those with a leftist worldview proven wrong? Now, there was overlap, but it was definitely a political divide. Those on the political left were more for school closing, more tracing, more closing of businesses, more masking, more vaccines. Those on the right opposed those things. Not all measures, just the extreme measures. Well, this is just another example of how what you believe about God, man, sin, salvation affects your worldview, how you view a crisis, how you discern cause and effects, and how you think things should be handled. It all depends on what you think man can do and what man should do versus what man can't do and shouldn't do. It's a theological, spiritual decision, not just a matter of guesswork. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Psalm 119:99, I have more insight than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, so keep and do the law of God, because that's your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It is having a knowledge of the word of God that makes a difference. Now, when we're right, and those who are God's people will be proven right, we're not to boast, we're not to say, I told you so, look at me, but at least we should leave a testimony that those who walk with God, they will not be in the darkness. They will walk in the light. But those who don't know the word of God, those who have not developed a biblical worldview, will walk right into a pit. Now, this is where Christians need to exercise a strong confidence in what the scripture teaches. Because you'll never stand for the truth unless you know and believe the truth. And we have to be firm in what we believe, because in a time or in an age of lies, the Christian is going to be the outlier. And the Christian is going to have to go it alone for some time and even endure the mocking of the critics. Just like Noah when he built the ark, or Nehemiah when he built the wall. We must know the scripture well enough to be able to judge the situation correctly, because we know that often unknowledgeable Christians give wrong pronouncements. But that shouldn't dissuade us from having confidence that the word of the Lord will come to pass, so that we can say to those who are trusting in men, that will be their failure, that will be their undoing. And we can confidently say that the wicked will end their lives in sorrow, and that their policies will backfire on them. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament, they had great confidence in their pronouncements. And where did they get that from? Strong faith in that what God has said is true. Such as Deuteronomy 32:35. They knew that vengeance is the Lord's, and in due time, the feet of the wicked will slip, that the day of their calamity is near, and the impending things will hasten upon them. Or Isaiah chapter 8, confidence to know that those who do not speak according to the word of God, they will pass through the land hard-pressed and famished. They will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness and gloom and anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. Oftentimes we don't speak up and warn sinners because we fail to truly believe what God has said about the end of pride, or, you know, the end of economic squandering or immorality. As witnesses for Christ, we ought to be able to say with confidence that this will be the end of your works. And look at that great chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. These great men of faith were only able to conquer kingdoms and perform acts of righteousness and obtain promises because their confidence was in what God said concerning these outcomes. Romans chapter 4, verse 20, concerning Abraham. In respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And we should exercise the same faith in our generation. This is practically what the New Testament means when it exhorts us to stand firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. So don't let the world make you doubt your biblical convictions, your belief in what God has said concerning outcomes. Even though when we foretell what God has said will happen, there is not a stitch of evidence in the world that it will come to pass. And even though the world is telling you, you're wrong. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook may censor you as disinformation, and you may even start to doubt yourself, and Satan may begin to whisper doubts in your ear, but we need to stand firm on what we know from the Word of God. Just like Daniel and his three friends, we will not worship the image that the king has set up, because we believe that soon God will bring about our vindication. And so God not only asks us to stand firm in the faith, but he also assures us in many biblical texts that we can wait confidently on vindication. Deuteronomy 32:36, for the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants when he sees that their strength is gone, that there's none remaining bond or free. Notice that God will bring about our vindication, not immediately, but when our strength is gone, when we totally have to trust in him alone, and when we have no strength of our own to stop the evils of this world. Now, this Hebrew word vindicate packs a lot of meaning. It can mean that God will avenge us of wrongs done to us. It can mean that he's going to reward us for our suffering. It can mean that God will bring about our justice. The word vindication also means God's judgment. And it also means that God will prove to the world that we're right. We will have a moral vindication, not just punishment on persecutors. And is that not what we want more than anything else? That God and God's truth will be shown to be true. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9, that the Lord would be king over all of the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. Now, not for our sakes, but that God would be God, and that every knee would bow the knee to Christ, that God would be vindicated, and in his vindication, we, his people, are also vindicated. So the prayer of God's people is vindication. Psalm 26:1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I've walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Psalm 43:1, vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Psalm 54:1, save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your power. When was the last time you prayed for vindication? Well, the more we have to stand for the truth, the more we'll find ourselves praying for vindication. and not just praying for vindication, but having the confidence that vindication will come. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 8, the prophet says, "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me." Isaiah 54, 17, "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. Now this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord." This will be our future. Do we believe this? If we did, we'd be more confident and bold and less discouraged in our witness. Notice what Job said in chapter 13, verse 18. "Behold, now I have prepared my case. I know that I will be vindicated." Remember, Job was standing up against his friends who are telling him that he's wrong. But Job stood his ground. Why? Because he was arrogant and unteachable? No. Now, some might assume that, seeing a man who is adamant in his beliefs. But Job was a man who knew the law of God, and he knew the character of God. And so he knew he was right because God's word and God's promises are right. And we are able to also have the same confidence if we put our trust in his word. And God is pleased when we have that kind of confidence, especially in a world that's telling us we're wrong. Now, another phrase in scripture, similar to the promise of our vindication, is the negation statement that we will not be put to shame. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, which is also quoted in 1 Peter 2, 6, "He who believes in Christ will not be put to shame or disappointed." And that's a great understatement. I mean, do you think someday Christians will be disappointed or proven wrong for believing the words of Christ? Do you think they'll have regrets for serving Christ? No, it's the unbeliever who will be put to shame. Isaiah 54, 4, "Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced." Isaiah 41, 11, "Behold, all those who are angry at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but you will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent." Are people angry at us for our stand for righteousness? Yes, and even more so every day. But someday, and someday soon, all who are protesting and raging against Western values, which is a leftist code for Christian truth, they will be put to shame. But remember, there is a time factor between when you have to stand for righteousness and when vindication comes. And that's the test of our faith. Now, vindication over COVID policy is certainly not the main vindication. What I'm saying is that the recent COVID vindication is just a small little sample, a reminder of the greater vindication to come in regard to greater, more important truths concerning God and salvation. Now, as far as COVID vindication is concerned, it's taken about 2 years for the culture to begin to shift. For all those COVID policy alarmists to go from being heroes to being considered dupes, tyrants, the popular culture will throw these social leaders under the bus once the people discover they have been had. They've been used by these social leaders, by big pharma, by power-hungry politicians, by scientists trying to cover up their gain-of-function research. Now, one could suspect this would happen because that's exactly what happened in 1917. 2 or 3 years after the Spanish flu pandemic, every article I read has pointed out that at that time, the politicians and the scientists did all of the wrong things in trying to stop the virus. And that resulted in people no longer trusting the politicians and the scientific experts. So for all the efforts of the politicians, it had the exact opposite effect of what they expected. These do-gooders wanted to be memorialized as heroes, but they were eventually despised by the people. I suspect history will record the same for the current pandemic. For example, the media was fawning all over Governor Andrew Cuomo and his lengthy daily COVID briefings. He put out a book about himself called American Crisis, Lessons in Leadership from the COVID-19 Pandemic. And 1 year later, he is totally disgraced. He's out of office, like Haman hanging on his own gallows. And the governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who did the exact opposite of Cuomo and who fought against all of the masks and the mandatory vaccines and the school lockdowns, DeSantis, who is vilified by the media, is now considered the hero. Here's an article from Politico entitled, How Ron DeSantis Won the Pandemic. And Politico is not a conservative source. Quote, it's interesting. Now you're starting to see some of the mainstream and national media admit, oh, Florida had schools open. It was the right decision. Oh, Florida has a 4.8 unemployment rate. And yet their mortality rate for COVID is less than a lot of these lockdown states. People were saying Florida was going to end up hit the worst on everything, but the Florida way has proven to be the better approach. Unquote. So Andrew Cuomo, who boasted that he was the hero, ends up being put to shame. And DeSantis, who was shamed by the media, ends up being vindicated. Last month, Saturday Night Live did a skit about a group of sophisticated New Yorkers, New York couples. They're out to dinner and they want to admit that COVID policy was unhelpful, a hoax, but they can't work up the courage to say it. Now, the skit is hilarious, but when I saw it, I knew that that was a major cultural shift. When SNL comedians make fun of a certain policy, you know where the culture is going. Now, again, this COVID issue is not anywhere near the final Christian vindication. What I'm saying is that it's just one of those small samples God gives us along the way. As also in the case of the Biden laptop, the media is now admitting it's real and the Biden family is corrupt. And it's now coming out also that the BLM organization is a fraud. The founders were stealing money and enriching themselves. And I know black pastors who were telling their congregations this months ago, but nobody believed them. Conservatives were saying deficit spending, sending free COVID money to everyone in America is going to result in runaway inflation. And it's come to pass, as you know. And we're going to be vindicated, and we are being vindicated concerning fraud in the 2020 election. What God has to say concerning our coming vindication should inspire us to stand all the more for the truth. And it helps us to realize that it's not vain to speak up. By speaking up, we become trailblazers. We just need to wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:6, He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Well, you've been listening to God and Country Radio. The extended version of this program is on my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website for all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening today. I hope that this is a biblical reminder of our soon vindication. We see it in such a small thing as COVID policy, but may this example help us stand more firmly for all of God's truth. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your promises toward us. As the Apostle Paul wrote, for many are the promises of God. In him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. In the name of our Savior we pray. Amen.